As I said, we're going to have a baby dedication a little later on, but we're going to look at some scripture today concerning baby dedication. And sometimes we ask the reason, what's so important about dedicating a child to God? Why do we do it? Is there any scriptural precedence for it? And so we're going to look at a couple of things today in the Word of God, and give us some understanding why we go through this ceremony. And it's not just something we do to pass away time. It's a very meaningful, very solemn ceremony to dedicate a child to God. And we're going to have that a little later on in the service. But the Bible tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord. It's something that we inherit from God. And today we're going to look at three reasons why we do have children dedicated, child dedication, baby dedication, whatever you want to call it. But before we look any farther, let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word of God. Father in heaven, we're so thankful once again to be able to come into your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We've sensed your presence already in the service this morning. And now, Lord, as we approach the Word of God, once again, we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of God would just give us an understanding, an enlightenment. And Father, as we look at the different things in the Word of God concerning bringing our children to the Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would just help us, Lord, to see the importance of that. And Father, from your perspective, and Lord, the implications that it would have in life. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Throughout the scriptures, children are portrayed as being very dear to the heart of God. Jesus himself said one time when they were trying to keep the children away from him, Jesus had suffered or allowed little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And so we're going to look at some different things. And sometimes, we grew up in a society, and probably most of us here grew up in a society that children were to be seen and not heard. And you had to keep quiet and stick over in the corner somewhere. You weren't allowed to say much and all these different things. And I'm not saying that was a bad idea sometimes. But the thing is, in Scripture, God's got a lot to say about children. I just looked at this last night. Now, the word child or children is used over 1,800 times in Scripture. The word sons, daughter, and daughters is used over 4,000 times in Scripture. So God is concerned about our children, our family, and different things. And so we're going to look at some different things today concerning raising children and things that God gives us in His Word. A young man one time was just got out of Bible college, and he figured he was going to do a lecture on parenting and different things. And he entitled his message, 10 Commandments for Parents. Now, he was just a young man. He wasn't married. A little while after, he got married, and the first child came along. And then he decided, well, he's got to change his title because he learned some different things. So he put down 10 suggestions for parents. And pretty soon he had another child, so now he had two children. He started learning even more. And he found that half of the things that he thought was going to work wasn't working, so he changed his topic again. He called it 10 Hints for Parents. And he said by the time his third child came along, he stopped lecturing. He just gave up on it. And a lot of times it's like that in life because, as well as I do, raising children could be a challenge. And so we're going to look at some different things in the Scripture today that the Bible tells us is important. Jesus, as I already mentioned in Luke chapter 18 and verse 16, the Bible says, this is in the contemporary English version, says, Jesus called the children over to him and said, let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these children belong to God's kingdom. And when we talk about baby dedication, we usually look at two passages of Scripture. We're not going to spend time in them this morning, but we always refer to these two passages of Scripture. We refer to the book of Samuel, where Hannah was praying. The Bible says she was barren, she had no children. And in that day, it was a shame. It was people thought it was a curse from God if a woman never bore children. And so she cried and asked God for a child. And she wanted a man child or a male because he would carry on the family, name and everything else and receive the blessings from the family and all these different things. But she made a promise to God. And the Bible tells us that she was in a place called Shiloh. It was the name of the town where people would worship God. This is before they moved to the tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem. This is way back in Israel's history. And she cried to God, the Bible says, and the high priest was there, and he saw her, and he thought she was drunk because she was over there praying. She wasn't saying anything. Her lips were moving. And he got kind of angry with her, and he thought she was drunk. And she said, no, she said, I'm not drunk. She said, but I've got a very heavy burden. And she explained to him what she was believing God for. And she was believing God for a child. And she said, this is a promise she made to God. She said, God, if you would give me a man child, a male, she said, I will give him back to you as long as he lives, and he'll serve you all the days of his life. And the Bible tells us that God gave her a son. They called him Samuel. And she brought Samuel to the Lord and dedicated him there to the Lord in the temple in Shiloh. And then over in the New Testament, another passage we talk about all the time is in Luke chapter 2. And this is when Jesus himself was born. And Mary and Joseph, the Bible says, when 8 days were fulfilled, Mary and Joseph had Jesus circumcised, which is a Jewish custom, a covenant that they made with God. And then they brought the child to the temple, the Bible says, to present him to the Lord. And while he was brought to the temple, there was an older man there, Simeon, and he took him up in his arms, the Bible says, and he blessed him and said to God, because God had already told him that, Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah. And Jesus was Messiah, and then Simeon said, he said, I've seen your salvation. He said, I'm ready to come home. So we have these two passages that we normally refer to when we're talking about children dedication, Hannah and bringing Samuel, and Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. And this is what we're doing today. We have Darren and Cheryl. They have a little girl that they're going to present to the Lord this morning in public dedication. So we're going to do that. Baby dedications, as I said, are very solemn things. It's like weddings. We do them publicly, and they're solemn. They're joyous, obviously. There's excitement about it. There's always gladness when there's a new child in the family and in the church or whatever the case might be. And it's a joyous time when we come together to see them present the child to God. Is, you know, something to celebrate, but it's also a very solemn thing, as I said, the same as a wedding. So we're going to look at three different reasons why families dedicate their child to God. Reason number one, if you want to write this down, it is an affirmation that the parents recognize that their child is a gift from God. When we bring a child back to God, to dedicate him to God, we're saying to God that we understand that this child, even though you've given the child to us, really belongs to God. It's a gift from God when we have little children brought into the family. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now, if you go back to that passage in Psalms, Psalm 127, and if you read there what's going on, and sometimes when you're reading Scripture, you got to understand that this is Hebrew poetry, is the way that the Hebrews would write something to express something else. And notice what he says here in Psalm 127. He said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. This is Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, as I said, this is Hebrew poetry, and what he's talking about there is not necessarily about a city. He's talking about a watchman keeping watch over a city. He's talking about building a house and all these different things. But he's talking about families. And this is what he goes on to say, because the next verse, he jumps down. He says, lo, or because, or look, he said, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. God gives us children as a blessing to our families. God gives us children because from God's perspective, it's a reward to us, and it's a gift to us to have a child. And I can guarantee you, even though your children might push you to the limit sometimes, you'd do anything in the world for your children. Everybody agree with that? You know, a child, as I said, can push you to the limits, but there's something about, there's a connection between you and your children that you know as well as anyone else that you got the best children in all the world. Anybody else feel that way? You all felt that way. But you see, God gives us children because it's a reward. This is what he says, you know, and we need to understand what he's saying there. He said it's useless for us to build a house if God's not building it. It's useless for us to build our family if God is not in the center of that family. It's useless for us, he said, to stay awake all night long wondering what's going on. He said, if God is not involved there, he said, you're just wasting your time. And this is what he's saying. He said, God gives his beloved sleep. We don't need to be up wondering. And I speak to myself as well as anyone else here now, because if your children are out somewhere, things like this, I mean, our girls are up married and got their own families. But if they're out somewhere on the road nighttime, I won't go to bed until I know they're safe wherever they're going. And I guess there's a lot of parents who feel the same way. Like, you know. But anyway, he said, God gives his beloved sleep. So he goes on to talk about it. He said, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his... Now he's talking about, he's referring to the father figure in the home. And he's referring to him as a warrior. And he said, as a man has got a lot of arrows in his quiver. And he said, happy is the man who's got a lot of children in his family, is what he's saying. You know, happy is the man who's got his quiver full of them. Children like arrows. He said, happy is the man who's got his quiver full of them. Now, so we see here that the Word of God tells us if God's not involved in the family, you know, it's not built in the right way. Parents must rely upon God in raising their children. Jesus himself said over in the New Testament, and sometimes we sing the chorus in Sunday school, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And then we finish off and say, so build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself, if you read that passage, Jesus says this way, he said, the foolish man, he talked about it, he said, build his house upon the sand, the rains came down, the floods came up. Now we put it in a song that way. But he said, the rains came down, the storms came, and he said, the house fell flat because it was not on a good foundation. He said, but the wise man built his house upon a rock. So when the storms of life came and all these different things, his family, his house, stood firm. And Jesus said, so is everyone who builds their life upon my sayings, upon his word. So we need to build our families, build our lives upon what God says in his word. So we need to understand that children are a gift from God. Back in the Old Testament, another story, Jacob and Esau. These are two brothers, and they had a falling out, and Esau was the eldest, and he was going to kill his brother. He was going to kill Jacob. And Jacob ran for his life, and sometimes later, 20 some odd years later, Jacob decided that it's time for me to go back home and face my brother. And as he went back home, and you know the story, he was a nervous wreck trying to wonder how he's going to meet his brother. If his brother was still angry with him all these years. They never had cell phones and all these different things to check with each other. You know, he hadn't heard from his brother in over 20 years. And so he was going back, and he was nervous and different things. But the Bible says when they met in Genesis chapter 33, and Esau lifted up his eyes. That is the older brother that was going to kill the younger brother. When he saw his younger brother coming, and they met face to face, Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the boys and said, who are these with you? He said to his younger brother, he said, who's all these people with you? And Jacob said, the boys with whom God has favored me. God has favored me with these children. And the Bible also tells about Abraham. God said, I will multiply his seed and give him Isaac. So we see that God gives children to us as a gift, as a blessing to our families. So when we have a dedication, we're acknowledging the fact that we realize that this child, even though we call it our children, and in one sense it is, but really it's a gift from God, the child that we have. Number one was an affirmation that parents recognize their child as a gift from God. Number two, it is a public commitment that parents desire to raise their children according to God's ways. A public commitment that parents desire to raise their children according to God's ways. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the passage that Margaret read a little earlier. Let me just scoot back there for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded me. This is Moses speaking. He said, God has commanded me to teach you that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it. He said, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son. Now notice what he says here. God says, these are the commandments that I want you to understand. He's talking to the children of Israel, the Israelites, as they are going into the promised land. He said, these are the commandments that I want you to understand and want you to keep. He said, you, verse 2 there, your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, that the days, that your days may be long upon the earth. Then he goes on, hear, O Israel, the Lord, and observe to do it, that it will be well with thee, that it may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. Now, if you look at the scripture that's going on there, God is saying to the children of Israel here, he's saying, I've given you some promises, I've given you some commandments, I've given you some laws to live by. And a lot of times we think that the laws of God are to make life hard for us, but the laws of God are to make life good for us. And this is what he's saying, if you can stay within those boundaries, he said, you would have a blessed life and you would prosper and you would, you know, your family would prosper. And then he goes on to explain what these things are. And he said, I want you to teach them diligently unto your children. When you go out, when you come in, when you sit down, when you go to bed at nighttime. In other words, every area of your life, everything that you're doing in your life, every opportunity you get, explain to your children why you do these things. Down in verse 20 in that same chapter, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20. And he said, and when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. Now, let's bring this up to our day and age. Jesus, when we raise up our children, and we get to the place where they grow up and different things, the children are going to say to us, why do we do the things that we're doing? Why do we live this way? Why do we believe the things that we believe? And God says to Israel here, through Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to train the people. He said, I want you to tell the people to teach your children this. Now, let's look over to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And you'll find out what happened. Now, God told them to follow his laws, follow his ways, to live, to build their family according to God's word. But Israel didn't do it. They did it for a while and then got slack in it. And it's like a lot of us sometimes. We make up our mind, we're going to serve God. I'm going to start getting back to church. I'm going to be faithful to God. And we start to get involved there. And all of a sudden, something happens and we change our mind. We stay home or whatever the case might be. And we don't realize the damage it's doing to our families. We don't realize what, you know, the consequences down the road. It's not just staying home for a Sunday. It's not just not doing this or not doing that. It's consequences, because whatever you do in life influences someone else. You are an influence, no matter if you think you are or not. You are an influence to other people. And a lot of times to our own children, obviously, as the context is saying here. Now, let's look at Judges chapter 2. Now, this is sometime later. Moses gave the command, we just read there in Judges chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses gave the command to train the children, to teach them in all different areas of life, to serve God and all these different things. Moses died off, you know the story. Joshua took his place. Joshua did the very same thing. Joshua started teaching the people and training them different things and telling them to live according to God's word. But they start to get away from it. And notice what happened there in Judges chapter 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Okay, so Moses told them to train the children. Joshua was Moses' successor. And he came in, and the people still served the Lord under Joshua. And that's what it says, that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So you get the understanding there. These people, Joshua was a young man. Moses passed off the scene. Joshua took over the leadership of Israel. And then When Joshua died off, the people were still serving God. And then the generation that was with Joshua, when they start to die off, the Bible says the people served God while Joshua was living and while the elders were living that lived in Joshua's time. Well, let's look at verse 7 again. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works that the Lord, works of the Lord, which he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Then in verse 9, they buried him. Then in verse 10, and all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. All the people in Joshua's generation were gathered unto their fathers. In other words, they died as well. And there arose another generation after them. Notice what it says, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. So here we have Joshua telling, or Moses telling the people to live by God's laws. Joshua came on the scene. The people were serving God under Joshua's life. Then Joshua died off, and all of his generation died off. And then the next generation that came up after them, the Bible says they didn't even know the Lord. They got away from the things of God. Years ago, I remember listening to a fellow preach on radio, and he was Dan Betzer. I don't know if anybody remember him or not, but he was the Revival Hour broadcasted on radio for years, and ever so often they change their speakers, and this fellow did it for a number of years, Dan Betzer, and he preached a message, and I can't remember, I was just a young fellow when I heard it, but he preached a message, and he called it One Generation from Extinction. We're just one generation from extinction. If we don't pass on to our children what we believe, our children are going to grow up and not know anything about the things of God. And here's a saying I got somewhere the other day, talking about the Christian faith. It says, to our forefathers, the Christian faith was an experience. You know as well as I do, I can remember when we were growing up and going to church and stuff like that. I mean, the people, I mean, they were so dedicated to God. They were so, excited about the things of God because they were experiencing God every day of their lives. We get into a church service, and I can remember just as a young fellow, I got saved in the Salvation Army, and I grew up basically in a Pentecostal church. But I can remember when we go there, I mean, you had some of these, we used to call them prayer warriors. People, I mean, they knew how to pray, they knew how to seek God. They would just dig in their heels spiritually and just hang in there, and you see things happening. And, you know, people are lining the altars and things are happening. We've come down a long ways down the road, and I tell you, it's a lot different today. It's a lot different today. And it's easy to say, we got to get back to it, but it's more to it than just saying we got to get back to it. It's not just something that happens here on Sunday around the altar. It's something that happens every week in our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, and everything else. It's something that is a commitment that we have to make to God. And so anyway, they say, to our forefathers, the Christian faith was an experience. To our fathers, it was an inheritance. It was passed down to the children. To us, it's a convenience. We go to church if we got time. We go to church if I'm not busy, if I don't have to do this. If I don't do that. It was a good day. I think I'll go out and have a barbecue. It was a good, it's just a convenience. We go if everything works out okay for us. To our children, now remember this, to the forefathers, it was an experience. They gave their life for what they believed. To our fathers, it was an inheritance that was passed down to them. To our generation, it's a convenience. But to our children, it becomes a nuisance. I don't want to go to church today. Anybody ever have to go through that with your children? You see, we're just one generation away from extinction. From the time Joshua died, the Bible says the children served, children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the leaders. I went into just to see how roughly how long that was. And they said it was anywhere from 20 to 25 years after Joshua died. The new generation that grew up. I mean, it doesn't take long. 20 years, man, that flies fast. I mean, when you're 5 and 6 years old, 20 years seems like old people. We'd all wish we could drop back 20 years now. In 20 years, there's a generation that grew up and didn't know a thing about God. But we see that in our churches. So we need to realize that when we dedicate a child to God, first of all, we're recognizing that the child is a gift from God. And secondly, it's a public commitment that we want to raise our children in God's ways. Number three, it's an encouragement to both the parents and the family and the church when we dedicate a child to God. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15 says, out of the mouth of two witnesses or out of the mouth of three witnesses, shall a matter be established. When we marry people, the law requires that we have, you know, two witnesses. And we usually take the best man and the maid of honor, you know, the bridesmaids. And we have witnesses to signifying that they made this public commitment. When we have baby dedications, you're all witnesses. We're all witnesses. That's why I say it's an encouragement. It's always exciting to see a child. It's an encouragement to the family. It's an encouragement to the church. It's an encouragement to the parents. When we recognize that we're bringing a child back and dedicating to God and trying to the best of our abilities. We're not saying you'll never make a mistake. I guarantee you every one of us has made mistakes. And we'll never get to the place where we don't make mistakes. But we're trying to the best of our ability to bring these children up to serve God in the way that they should go and live according to God's plan and God's purpose. That's what children dedication is all about. Hebrews chapter 10, you've heard me preach on this lots of times. The Bible says, let us hold fast to our profession. Let us hold fast to what we believe and what we profess and what we confess. Let us hold fast to that. And he said, the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another. See, when we have a child dedication, we're encouraging one another. He said, let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Let's encourage each other to do something good. Encourage each other to stand for the word of God. Let's encourage each other. You know, this is where a church family comes in. If you, for instance, send your child to school, and in the school they're teaching something that you know is not should be taught probably to small children or whatever the case might be, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things going on in school systems lately, and you think, well, you know, that should never be. But sometimes you feel like you're the only one that thinks that way. You know, and you feel like, well, you know, the world is all going crazy. Am I the only one who's got any sense? I don't know if you all feel that way or not. But this is where it's good to have a church family, another group of people that believes the same way you do, so that you get some support with one another. And this is why, you know, church family sometimes becomes closer than a natural family. Because we love each other, we care for each other, even though you're stubborn, you're like a mule sometimes. In a natural family, you're going to smack upside the head, but we still love you anyway. You know, sometimes we feel like smacking you upside the head, but we won't. But you understand what I'm saying? There's a unity in a church family where we just love each other. And no matter what happens, there's that fellowship that's there. And this is what we need when we bring children to the Lord. We have a cell group of the younger ones. We call them younger, but one of them just got so old yesterday or last week. They're not so young, but they're younger than us. And there's a lot of children in that cell group. You know, they meet together each week and they got separate. But they all have children. They're all looking after each other's children and things like this. And I think it's wonderful. You know, and they almost consider it like it's all part of their family. We'll look after each other's child. If that one's getting in trouble, we'll go along and help them out and all these different things. And I think that's the way it ought to be. And when we come together for a child dedication, it's a time for the church to get together and realize that, listen, we're in this with them. We're going to help do our best as well to help them bring that child up to serve God. You understand what I'm saying? This is why it's an encouragement to the church family to be involved. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some of this, but exhort one another. Exhort one another. And so much more as you see that day approaching when Jesus is coming back. As I said, one of the greatest challenges in life is raising a child. Nothing can cause more joy and nothing can cause more heartache than a child. Anybody say amen to that? There's nothing that make you happier sometimes with your child, you know, when you do something good and or when they're born. I mean, you're just beaming at the, you know, and all of a sudden, as you get older in life and they start getting some things and trying to try their own wings and everything else, and they get in trouble and all these different things, and there's nothing to tear your heart to pieces anymore than a child. It's a challenge to raise a child. Nothing can make you get up earlier in the morning, especially when it comes like Christmas. As you know, I love Christmas. When the girls were small, I'd get them up 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I was up before them. I wanted to get them down to the tree. There's nothing to make you get up earlier in the morning than a child, but there's nothing sometimes to make you stay up and pace the floor at nighttime, wondering where your children are. There's one extreme to the other. But we got to realize they're a gift from God. It's important for parents to remember what happened to Israel. just one generation, and there came up a generation that knew nothing about the things of God. And I don't want to make you feel bad this morning or anything like that, but I can guarantee you, if we can look back over our own lives, look in our own families, we can see the same process. Our fathers, our grandfathers, they gave their life for what they believed. We get in our generation, well, you know, I go off as convenient. Our children coming up after us, it becomes a nuisance. Oh, I have to go to church today. I'm tired of going to church. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Why? Because not their fault. We've dropped the ball somewhere on the way down through. Our fathers, whatever. But somewhere along the line, we've dropped the ball. And when in 20 to 25 years after Joshua died, there was a generation that grew up. I mean, these are God's people, God's covenant people, the children of Israel. A generation that grew up and knew nothing about God and knew nothing about the great, mighty works that God did when he brought them out of Egypt. When we grew up in church, and many of you can probably understand this because you probably come from the same kind of background. When we grew up in church years ago, there's always somebody standing up and talking about how once they were crippled, and now they're healed, and they're serving God, you know, and stuff like this. We grew up with all kinds of stories like that, but we don't see it anymore. You understand what I'm saying? They knew the works of God. They experienced it. It was an experience of them. They lived it. To them, you wouldn't get them out of church for anything. That was their life, was just wrapped up in serving God. Then we came along, and our generation comes along like this, and we weaken it down and narrow it down and water it down, and pretty soon we got nothing. One generation from extinction. That's why we bring our children to God. We're saying, God, we recognize that this child is from you. We recognize that this child is a gift. God, we're coming today, we're endeavoring to the best of our ability to bring this child up to serve you. We need your help. And we need the church family to help as well. That's what the third point is about. We need the church family to get involved as well and do our part and pray for them and encourage them and help them. That's what children dedication is for. That's why we have baby dedications. Not something just to pass away a Sunday or just, you know, some ceremony that we do because that's what our culture does. Maybe we've turned into that, but that's not what it's all about. We do it because there's a reason behind it. God tells us to bring our children, present it to him. Present our children to him.
I pray you'll be mine. And watch her where she goes. And help her to be wise. Help me to let go. Every child knows. Lead her to a place. Guide her with your grace to a place where she'll be to a place. get away.